Hey everybody, welcome to episode 39 of Wolf Colorcast. This is an EDH-centric podcast that loves to focus on the serious, the aggressive, and the awesome VDH or Commander. This is Chris. I play the game, guess that, and I'm a butthole. This week I've got two very special guest hosts with us. First one up is Cassidy Silver. Why don't you say hello to everybody here?
Hello everyone, I am a guest host today on Off Colorcast. You can read my articles at tcgplayer.com in the magic section, and I'm at Right or Wrong on the Twittertron. I'm also on Facebook, but my new phone doesn't really do anything with the internet, so I probably will be on Facebook and Twitter much, much less than before, and same thing with my Gmail, so it's going to be even harder to get in touch with me. Yay.
So it wasn't hard enough as it is.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, and we've got another very, very special guest host, and it's Calvin, a.k.a. Captain Red Zone on the internet. Why don't you say hello?
Hey everybody, this is Calvin, also known as Captain Resident on the internet. Let's see, anything else you guys might want to know about me, aside from the fact that I'm the aggressive black guy on the podcast?
I guess not.
No. The other thing I actually wanted to ask, is using the word Negro okay here?
Probably.
As in the color black.
Yeah, only if you're speaking Spanish.
So, like, Negro?
Yeah, El Gato Negro is okay.
It sucks.
El Diablo Negro. Does that good, or is that kind of get back into the problem?
I don't know. Mis hermanos negros, my black brothers. All right.
Gross.
Later on, kids. Okay, so I think we're each just going to take turns naming a guild and then comparing the two. Then we'll talk about it. Then at the end, all three of us will decide which one we'd rather build a which one we'll build a deck around. It doesn't even have to consider them as a general, just like which one you'd rather build a deck around. But I mean, that usually means that them as the general. All right, kids, well, this week we just have one big old segment, so if this ain't your thing, you may as well just shut her off now. But since Gate Crash is fully spoiled, and we have all the Gate Crash legends, we now have our full Ravnica block legends and our full Return to Ravnica block legends. We're going to compare both guild leaders from each one and then decide which one we'd rather build a deck around. So I'm going to get us a
quick correction there.
Build a dick around.
Yeah, we have all the legends from Gate Crash and Return to Ravnica, mm-hmm. but there are to be more legends in the, what's that one, Dragons?
Yeah, but they won't be guild leaders. We have all the guild leaders.
Ah, okay. Right. I thought you said all the Ravnica legends.
He did, but
okay.
I figured they knew what I was talking about.
All right, just a second.
Now, I mean, we're also going to see, almost a 10-year gap in design differences here, so I don't know how many more times the new one's going to be, overpowered compared to the old one. But I don't think it's going to happen too often, because I think they were also really careful to try and keep it Ravnica-y, so things don't get a little too ridiculous. Now, if these legends were printed in, shards or something, they'd all be, 10-10, flying, vigilance, haste, death touch. when you cast them, draw 10 cards kind of creatures. But luckily, they didn't go that way with these ones.
Anytime you have to pay 4 mana of a specific cost for anything, you should be winning the game, right?
That's in Sean's show. So I am going to start off. I'm going to cherry pick my favorite guild, and then I'm going to start off with Rakdos. We'll probably just read off each one too for the five of you that don't know each one.
Okay.
So the Ravnica edition was Rakdos the Defiler, 2/2 black and 2 red for a 7/6 legendary flying trample demon. Whenever Rakdos the Defiler attacks, sacrifice half the non-demon permanents you control rounded up. Whenever Rakdos deals combat damage to a player, that player sacrifices half the non-demon permanents he or she controls rounded up. And then, of course, we have our bro, Rakdos, Lord of Riots. 2 black and 2 red for a 6/6 legendary creature. He still has Flying Trample, but you can't cast Rakdos, Lord of Riots, unless an opponent lost life this turn. Creature spells you cast cost 1 less to cast for each 1 life your opponents have lost this turn. So, Lord of Riots, as we've seen with play, has been a bit harder to get out than originally thought.
Absolutely.
As people have been building Return to Rakdos decks, because that's what, it, of course, his nickname is, I've seen is, it seems to get that first hit, to be able to cast him, has proved a bit more difficult than originally thought. Lord of Riots does lend itself more to combo plays, while Rakdos of the Filer is more of a ruin yourself and somebody else kind of play. I'm not really sure which one I like more. I love, like, suiciding things, so the original Rakdos has that going for it. But when you actually do hit somebody with them, it seems pretty oppressive that they're sacrificing half their permanence to do it. The Lord of Riots seems more fair in the fact that, you know, you're just getting, like, your free Worm Coil engine or, you know, stuff like that, which is also kind of bad. But what do you guys think?
You know, I tried making a Rakdos deck out of my Karavek deck. And I guess I didn't try that hard because, like, I was looking through my Karavek deck and being like, no, I'm not taking that card out, even though it's terrible in Rakdos, just because I like my Karavek deck too much, I guess. So it actually just stayed Karavek with a few cards for Rakdos. But even then, Rakdos was almost bad how hard it was to play him at the right time.
Yeah.
And you could play him a lot of time, like, earlier, but then, like, you might not get anything out of it, and you can't do as many cool plays. I actually just put him as one of the 99 in Karavek, and he's actually scarier then because people don't see him coming at all. And all of a sudden it's like, I have 7 mana, right? I deal 6 damage with something. Play Rakdos. Play an Inferno Titan for 2 red and then a Worm Coil Engine for free. And then it's like, okay. So, I mean, we did mention before we started, I don't know if it's going to make it onto the final thing, but it doesn't necessarily have to be a general. But Rakdos is definitely, he's good. He's a good black red card, whatever you do with him, you know what I mean? He's just good for that one time anyways, where it's like, oh no, he's making everything so cheap, oh god.
He's like a red version of Animar, where, you know, it's really explosive and you get it all at once and then you have to work hard to do it again.
Yeah, I think Animar's a little bit more forgiving on getting him into play, but yeah, I agree. And you know, making something like Karavek himself a lot cheaper makes even a better card anyways, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, seriously, because his mana cost is oppressive.
Right, and especially when people keep killing him, it's like, well, I'll just deal a bunch of damage to you, playing for much cheaper, because, you know, Lord of Riots is in play, so that's where I like him, actually, is right in the deck with someone like with Karavek or something like that.
Calvin, what do you think between the two?
Between two, I kind of personally kind of like the first one better, mainly because it has more of a build-around-me kind of feel to them. It's one of the, like, between the two of them, like, the new one, Lord of Riots, I can see where people would build a deck for him, but he just seems kind of like the card that would get, like, boring after a certain period of time. You know, because it's going to always end up being the, oh, ping somebody or make somebody lose life, pay four, get a 6/6. And then from this point forward, everything I have costs less. Like, whoop-dee-doo. I mean, that's good. Don't get me wrong. It's really good. But it's like, it doesn't really feel like the kind of deck. It feels like the kind of deck that I would build, play with for a little while, and then after I've, like, used Rakdos to cast every creature or whatever in my deck, I would get bored and then kind of, like, de-sleeve them. Mm-hmm. But with the Defiler, because of his whole, like, non-demon permanence you control and non-demon permanence your opponent controls, abilities, it kind of gives you that, like, the, well, do I build a deck that has mostly demons? Do I build a deck that turns things into demons? Do I build a deck that kind of just doesn't really play any other creatures, or, like, makes a bunch of tokens so I have stuff to sacrifice?
Build a deck that doesn't need lands.
Right. There's a various different ways to kind of, like, play around with that non-demon thing. And even And even with the whole, like, make another player sacrifice half of their non-demon permanence, do I make a deck that turns other people's creatures into things that aren't demons? Like, if I get, like, an enchantment or an equipment that kind of, like, the, not an equipment, like, if I get, like, an enchantment or an artifact that says, like, tap this, target creature becomes a creature of your of chosen type until end of turn. So you can kind of take away the demon effect from them. Like, do I play different things like that to kind of, like, get rid of stuff that are demons? Like, you know, there's so many different things you could do with that particular thing would be interesting. And you can, like, even if the deck got boring, you can always kind of try to go at it from a different angle. But new one just always feels like, if as you look at him, it doesn't feel like there's any real different angle aside from what creature can I get Rakdos to cost less.
Yeah.
You know, I actually didn't get to mention the old Rakdos because I kind of forgot talking about the new one. But I will agree with Calvin that he's more built around me, but he's so built around me for me that I've never really been that interested in. You
but
know
dude,
what I mean?
When you get Urborg, Cormus Bell, and then Conspiracy naming demons out, you're fine.
Yeah, that's a lot of work. Also, I don't really like how one ability triggers when he attacks, but the other one it triggers when he deals damage. Because if there's like a fog in there somewhere, you just lost a whole bunch of shit for nothing. So
you're definitely married more to the Defiler.
Right, exactly. I do agree with you, Calvin, though. Rakdos does get really boring. Right, you just power out a bunch of cool stuff, and then you're like, okay, what else can I do today? You know what I mean? So, but I think that Rakdos the Defiler is even less interesting to me. That's just me, though.
I think the art is better on the first one, because the second one, I couldn't figure out what he was like half the time.
He's like dancing, dude. He's
Then I saw where the hammer was or whatever, and I'm like, oh, okay, I get it now. All right, so it's come down to voting, and I would rather build a deck with. I'm actually thinking because I'm not sure. I'm gonna have to stick with the Defiler.
I would build a deck around. Yeah, I would actually say the Defiler too, because that would be way more of a challenge to like build a good deck around than Rakdos is. So if I'm gonna build a Rakdos deck at this point, it's gonna be the Defiler too.
Alright, Calvin, what do you got?
I would build a deck around the Defiler, just because I like themes.
Defiler did a clean sweep there. It looks like original Ravnica is winning, which I really expect Return to Ravnica to win out in the end, but who knows with us. Cassidy, how about you pick our next pair?
Okay, let's see here. What's the best one? I'll take one that's going to be easy for us all to agree on, and I'll just go with Obzedet Ghost Counselor, otherwise we'll go Orzhov for this one. The reason that this one will be easier for us is because they're both basically the same card.
Almost.
Yeah, I mean, like, you basically add, like, a one to everything on the original Ghost Council, and you got Obzedet, or I'm going to call him OBD from now on. I might as well, do we want to read them, I guess?
Yeah, you better read them just in case.
Okay. Okay, so first off, I'll do the Ghost Council. This was the one from, that looks like Guild Pack, I think, right? Yeah, and then Dissension is like the arrows. Okay, so this is white, black to cast, so 4 CMC, legendary creature, spirit, it's 4/4. When it enters the battlefield, target opponent loses 1 life, and you gain 1 life. So that's kind of interesting. And then you pay 1 colorless and sack a creature as an activated ability to exile the council, and then return to the battlefield under its owner's control at the beginning of the next 10 steps. So it's got kind of a creature sacrifice engine in it, and that's usually what I see people do when they play the Ghost Council of Orzhova, but I've never been super interested in this card, and I think it's pretty boring. And then we go on to OBD himself, comma Ghost Council. He is 1 colorless, and then black, white, so 5 converted mana cost. He's a legendary creature spirit advisor this time, so he's not just a spirit, he's also for that tribal advisor deck, and he's 5/5. As you notice, he's 1 more to cast and 1 higher power toughness. And then when he comes into the battlefield, a target opponent loses 2 life and you gain 2 life. So again, they just stacked on another one to that. And then the ability, at the beginning of your end step, you may exile him. If you do, return to the battlefield under its owner control at the beginning of your next upkeep, and it gains haste. So, I mean, it's basically the same kind of, like blinking effect as the first one. It doesn't have the exact same timing, and it doesn't require a creature to do it. It just does it on its own, so that's kind of nice and kind of shitty, depending on how you want to build around it. But either way, I mean, they're just so similar. I almost don't even see the point. To me, I mean, I was really hoping for something that would kind of define Orzhov when it comes to generals, because I don't really think any of the Orzhov generals are, you know, I mean, there's like Vishkal and there's Taysa and stuff. They all do stuff, but they're not like, they don't really define the colors. They're mostly just like, I want to build black-white, so I guess I'll use this general. You know what I mean? I don't know. What do you guys think of the Ghost Councils?
Yeah. Well, like, Obzedet, you know, OBZ... ODT, or die trying.
Yeah.
I mean, he's a better beater, because, you know, he's a 5/5, but Ghost Council is way more survivable in combat, because you can bounce him whenever you need to. And as you guys know, from Ascendant Hero, anything that you can return to your hand is, like, nigh unkillable. but Obsidian is more of a just like it's more of a bouncing. It's bouncing for bouncing's sake. You're not really going to do too much with it because you're just doing it to gain two more life. And if you have things that help you with that, like all those cards that help you with that, gaining the life and making other opponents lose life could start off one of those chains with, what was it, Innocent Blood?
Or Exquisite Blood?
Yeah, Exquisite Blood.
Yeah, sure.
So you've got that going for you, but I don't know. It's like they just made it easy mode Ghost Council.
Mm-hmm. You know, I will mention that even though it doesn't survive better in combat tricks, it will definitely survive Wraths, where the old one requires a sacrifice creature. So, I mean, he'll never be around for someone to Wrath of God or Supreme Judgment. So I guess that's kind of cool. But at the same time, he can't fucking block. So
I mean, well, how is he not going to be around for Wrath?
Because,
oh, at the beginning of your next upkeep, okay.
Yeah, so he's gone.
He seems like a much better guy now.
Yeah, it's a May ability, too, so I guess you can leave him around to block. But yeah, he's gone until your next turn.
All right, he's kind of cool now. All right, I've switched. all right, I'll let Calvin talk.
With this particular two different variations of Ghost Council, I personally would have to say I prefer the first one. I mean, granted, yes, it's smaller in the body. It has a smaller mana cost, and it does less, like, life loss, life gain. And it does require a creature for it to sack out. But I like the option of knowing that in case I choose to, I can basically blink him whenever I feel like it. And he'll be back at the end of that turn. So, like, say, for instance, like, if I'm afraid Cassidy's going to wrap the board, if I have the Ghost Council out and another creature worth sacking, I can always just sack him out, and then when Cassidy does wrap the board, my council will be the only creature left because it'll come back at the end of the step anyway. But with the other one, it's like, granted, yes, he won't be wrapped, but he won't be around during, like, Chris's turn or somebody else's turn. It's just like, you know, I'm just wide open for an attack when technically I could have had a good blocker. And at least with this, it's like I can always, like, you know, chump block with the original Ghost Counselor and the creature that I'm going to sacrifice, pay one, sacrifice the creature, exile, and then, you know, at least I got two blocks out of it. Especially if I knew both creatures were going to die. But with the new one, it's kind of if something occurs and I'm going to be attacked and I do decide to actually bounce him, he's not going to be around for three more turns on the average. And then if I do decide not to blink him and leave him there, he's wide open for a Wrath. Now I gotta pay two extra mana to get him back, as opposed to paying one and sack a creature that was gonna die to Wrath anyway. You know? And the only good thing I'm getting out of him is an additional point of general damage and additional, like, life gain, one more life loss to one target opponent, right? Because he only does it to one opponent. But does he do it to all? I didn't read that part.
It's just one, yeah. Both of them are still just one player.
Yeah, see? So, like it's like if the new one actually said, like, opponents lose two life and you gain two, then I could fully understand the reason why they might not want him around for three turns. But at the moment, it's like, it's okay, but I'd prefer the first one.
I like the second one better with the... I found the other card that I'd forgotten about. Sanguine Bond and Exquisite Blood. Mm-hmm. I like Ghost Council 2 better for that. It seems more fun that way.
Yeah, they both kind of do the same thing there, though, I guess.
I like that he feels like a beater version of Norn the Wary almost. And I don't know. I like the fact that it's like, hey, I'm going to attack you with him. And now he's gone.
Yeah. I mean, there's cool parts to him, but I just don't. I like Calvin said, I like the options that the old one presents you, and I think that's more important for general, especially in EDH, because you never know what you're going to come up against. So I think having your options more open is better. I mean, the 5/5 is cool. The one extra mana cost is negligible, but I really think the options is where it's really important here, and that's why I think. Well, let's just go ahead and vote.
Yeah.
I would rather build around the old school Ghost Council of Orzhova.
I would rather build around Obsidat.
And if I had to pick one that I'd rather build around, it would be original Ghost Council.
Yeah, but you don't really like Mulatu decks.
No.
They were illegal until 1950.
Oh, that's racist. Oh. No, what was it? What's the other one? The other one wasn't named Tessa? Tessa, yeah.
We could bring up Tessa because Tessa is actually a little more interesting, right?
No champions.
No champions? All right.
Yeah. So that's Tessa's like good now somehow.
Did you have the champions anywhere?
No. We'll leave the Tessa's champions okay. out of it. Yeah.
Tessa's talking like, okay, I guess. Sorry.
Okay, so let's see here.
Yeah, you got one now.
So now since it's my turn to actually do this discussion.
Hey gang, so I've been told numerous times that even if we're not doing an Into the Red Zone segment, I best damn play the music. So here you go.
Alright, people. Calvin, also known as Captain Red Zone. We're going for you! Swag. We take what we want! Into the Red Zone. Swag. We're going for you! Swag. We take what we want! Into the Red Zone. I'm going to pick a guild that has red in it, and the guild I'm going to pick is going to be Gruul.
Oh, surprising.
Let's see here.
I'm surprised.
Mainly because I want to try to pronounce this name.
Borborygmos.
Borborygmos.
Borbor.
And Borborygmos Enraged. Okay. Now, with the original Borborygmos, it's a 3 colorless, 2 red, 2 green. And he's a legendary Cyclops. It's a 6/7 with trample. And whenever Borborygmos deals combat damage to a player, put a +1/+1 counter on each creature you control. And the new Borborygmos Enraged is 4 colorless, 2 red, 2 green. He's a Cyclops, 7/6. He's a trample. And whenever Borborygmos Enraged deals combat damage to a player, reveal the top 3 cards of your library. Put all land cards revealed this way into your hand and the rest into your graveyard. And then the second ability is discard a land card. Borborygmos Enraged deals 3 damage to target creature or player. Blah, blah, blah. Oh. See, I knew I wasn't going to be able to pull it all the way off. I got close. All right, so between the two versions of the Cyclops General here, the newer version, like, you can tell he's kind of gotten a little bit older because, you know, his defense has gone down.
And he's madder.
And he's, like, you know, apparently madder. I mean, like, hey, if you had carpal tunnel, you'd be a little upset, too. And he cost 1 more. But he has an ability that actually allows him to be able to, like, start picking off creatures, potentially finishing off additional players. And late game, after you've gotten to 8 mana, he gives you something to do with all the unnecessary lands that you might not be using anywhere. Like, every time you top deck a land, you can be like, oh, well, screw this. Discard his land and destroy a blocker or at least hit somebody. But with the original one, since his ability is all... They both have abilities that are combat-based. And the combat-based version of them, I kind of like the first one better because he gives a +1/+1 counter to each creature you control. So if you ever get a chance to drop him down and swing, and he actually connects because he has the trample, all the creatures you have that aren't him are going to at least get pumped up by 1, which is a good thing because it's like it's not just the ones that's attacked either. It's like all creatures you control. So if you had like pingers or something else that just came into play and didn't have haste or whatever, you know, it gets a +1 counter as well. Other things I kind of like about the second one, though, is that even though it has the ability to kind of like do like a look at the top 3 cards of your library, it kind of gives you a nice way to kind of filter them, but they only really give you the lands. And anything else that you like, so if you were actually looking for like a particular creature or spell, you could potentially end up just discarding it. Or you could hit nothing and whiff and then discard like 3 cards from the top of your library into the graveyard. So you might actually like be kind of detrimental to your own deck. Anybody else want to chime in here?
It ain't no May there.
Hmm?
It's not a May. You're doing it.
Yeah, you're doing that.
And he's like mad, that. So you know he's going to hurt somebody.
Yeah, and he doesn't care if it's you or not. So let's see here. Anybody else want to chime in on these two?
Yeah, I got some stuff.
Go ahead.
I mean, I think I kind of disagree with you. I think Borborygmos is the original one from Guild Pact. I don't like his +1/+1 counter ability all that much. it's just really boring. And I think if you're paying seven mana for a big 6/7 trampler, like, you shouldn't have to have a bunch of other creatures for his ability to actually do something, you know? I mean, I guess he does plus one counters on himself, which sort of makes a three turn clock, you know, the same thing with the newer one, but it's just not the way I like to go about it. Did I cut out, or is that Calvin?
I think it was just noise.
Okay, cool.
That was me. I was going for my golf stuff.
Yeah, I just wanted to make sure, because cutting out sucks when you're talking and then it's gone. All right, anyways, yeah, I think the new Bubarigmos is just about cooler in every single possible way. I mean, it is true that you might whiff or you might, like, dump an important creature into your graveyard, but, I mean, there are plenty of ways to get cards back, you know, and if you have something like Genesis, you might actually just be helping yourself. And then the discarding a land card to Lightning Bolt something is just about the funniest fucking ability. You know, it's kind of like Seismic Assault, only It's a big dude throwing the land at you this time instead of like a...
Yeah, he's just like
thing. Picking
up rocks and throwing it at people.
Not just rocks, though. He's lifting up a whole goddamn mountain and whipping it at you for three damage. And, he's kind of like that package in himself that I'd be looking for such a high mana cost. You know, he doesn't need any other creature to be out to do something. And he's still a three-turn clock either way. You know, seven power is really magical when it comes to EDH. He's trampling. You know, that's important, too, even though they both have trampling. I just think he looks cooler. Like, Bubarigmos in the old picture looks like a total tool bag. And the new one, he looks like he's about to fuck your shit up really hard. So, I got to vote. I got to say that I like Enraged much better.
I almost feel... I feel like both of them find places in other decks pretty well. Because, I mean, like, Kresh would love, like, regular Bubarigmos. They kind of bang every now and then, I've seen it. But when you cast Bubarigmos Enraged, you may as well just have, like, Epic on his name, because you're not going to do anything else until he's dead. You're going to Bubarigmos all over everybody, and you're going to just keep pitching lands at people. I love Seismic Assault, so an even better Seismic Assault I'm going to love even more. I'm going to feel really bad if I have to pitch a land to hit a creature, though. I always want to do it to the dome.
You do it to the dome. It accumulates up to, what's that, 3, 6, 9, 18, 27? If you use his ability, and every time you hit three lands, nothing else, by the time he kills somebody with his three-turn clock, you would actually have been able to hit somebody else, but what is it, 9, 18, 27. 27 to the face, just throwing mountains.
Would you run Bubarigmos Enraged in just 99 lands, Calvin?
I could actually see that.
It's if pretty close to the right strategy.
I mean, I wouldn't say 99 lands. Probably, like, you know, him and, like, a good 70 lands, and the rest of it's just, like, spells to ramp you.
Yeah, because you wonder about surviving to turn 8 and just playing your one land a turn.
Yeah.
Unless somebody else is nice enough to cast Growing Ranks or something.
I think with this guy, too, there's a lot of really cool cards that'll just make him ridiculous. If you got, like, a hand of 9, like, say you use Storm Cauldron, right, which makes it so you can play an extra land a turn, but it makes it so every time a land is tapped, it bounces back to your hand. So you play this after you play Bubarigmos, bounce all your lands back to your hand. Lightning Bolt for a million, and then cast Praetor's Counsel to do it all over again. So, you know what I mean? Like, when I first see him, I just see an end game already that I want to, like, work towards. And that's just, like, that to me, that's the most important thing when it comes to a general, is, like, you see what you can do with it, and then you work towards that goal. I like that much better than, you know, something that's a good general, but it's more generic, you know what I mean? So you have to kind of think a little harder, or... That strategy you put it in might not have anything to actually do with the general, that sort of thing. But Bubarigmos Enraged, he makes an awesome deck. Mm. I can think of like 10 cards just off the top of my head just to play in that deck, just because of his ability. You
know? Yeah, I've got a deck shell made up that I'm slowly finishing up that runs like Countryside Crusher and Knight of the Reliquary. And it's a deck where I want my lands in the graveyard at some point, because I saw Goblin Raze Runners and I'm like, this is the sweetest card ever. So I just started putting in a bunch of cards so that then I could, like, you know, and then like Planar Birth with Storm Cauldron, all that fun stuff. And then, like, he just slides right in there. His mana cost is a little high for as many lands as I intend to keep, but I'm sure I'm going to throw him in there just to see what happens. Cause then, you know, if I don't have Seismic Assault out, I can just use him to pitch everything.
Yeah, but you could also use damage doublers. Like if you get like a red enchantment that allows you to double the amount of damage, or was it furnace wrapped effect?
There's enough of them, that's for sure.
And you put those in there, like when he starts chucking them lands, he's hitting people in the face for 6.
Ooh, you know what? Even really good as gratuitous violence, because that's only creatures damage from your creatures that doubles. So like double Rigmos wants a little bit of gratuitous violence. There we go. That's 11 cards that I need for this deck now.
Yeah, and I mean obviously you'd put them in like.
The back.
I forgot her name. Who's the red white angel that was just coming out?
Aurelia.
Yeah. Well, now the one that doubles the damage. Obviously, we're gonna have to make a Naya deck to put them both in.
Oh, Gisela. Yeah. 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 It put them both in Maya L or something.
Yeah. Actually, yeah, Maya L would be great for these dumb heads.
Yeah. having land tax in a Bulba Rigmos deck could be. Could be really, really bad. Really, you know, a deck with him in it. You know what I mean? Like, it's too bad he doesn't have white in him already. To put that right in there, that'd be awesome.
Well, I'll put some white in him.
Yeah.
All right. Let's vote here. Calvin, why don't you start off the vote so that you can get shot down by me and Cassidy?
Okay. Well, if I had to pick one to actually back on this particular instance, I personally would prefer the original Boomerangness.
Wrong.
Granted, the new one has a bunch of abilities and stuff, and yeah, we've come up with a couple of good things to go with him. But I kind of like the fact that I can actually kind of rely on him. Where, like, with the other one, it's like, if I don't hit lands, he's not really going to do anything with that extra discard stuff.
I would rather build around Boba Rigmos Enraged.
I also would rather build around dun, 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 Boba Rigmos Enraged.
Ooh, it's my turn again.
Dude, he's going to look so good foiled with that awesome, like, sunburst behind his, under his arm.
They should do a full art one.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
Which one of these... Now we're just stuck with, like, crappy guilds.
No, there's still a few left that are pretty cool. I'm surprised Calvin didn't do Boros.
But... Well, I mean, he's probably going to do Boros next.
Yeah,
unless one of us takes it like a jackass. All right, I'm actually going to do Azorius now. Because this one is actually, of the ones we've done, I think this is the like most radically different between the two so far. So the Azorius guild leader was Grand Arbiter Augustine IV. 2 white blue, human advisor for that sweet advisor tribe. He's a 2/3, but that part doesn't really matter. White spells you cast cost 1 less to cast. Blue spells you cast cost 1 less to cast. Spells your opponents cast cost 1 more to cast. And then on the other side, we've got Asperia, Supreme Judge. No longer just a champion, actually graduated up to a guild leader status. 2 white, 2 blue, for a 6/4 flying sphinx. Whenever a creature attacks you or a planeswalker you control, you may draw a card. So these guys go in like 2 ridiculously different decks if you're going to use them as the general. Though I'm guessing either one could probably show up in the other one, because a cheaper Asperia isn't too bad either. But... Grand Arbiter, you're obviously just being a dick. Whenever you throw him in as your general, you're just going to throw every tax effect you can in the deck, and then you're just going to sit there and wait till somebody punches you in the face. Asperia, you could go for, like, blue-white aggro, you know, all flyers. It may keep the token guy from attacking you if they're not going to kill you, but I think you're still going to get some cards because people are going to have to attack you at some point, probably. Unless you're playing in a meta where they're just going to, like, stroke you out or something, and then he's not very good. I guess it's a she. But what do you guys think?
I'll go first. I think it's a hard choice here, because you're right, Grand Arbiter is kind of a douchebag card, the way most people play it. I always think of him as, like, a really cool general for, like, a blue-white stompy deck. Like, basically the only way to make something like Drugskull Reaver, like, a real good card, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So I actually like Arbiter, or the Grand Arbiter, as any blue deck. I really wish he didn't have the spell's opponent's cost cast 1 more to cast, because, like... That, you know what I mean? If that was gone, this guy would be one of the coolest generals of all time. But no, he has to make everything really complicated for other people. And I understand why people don't like it, because having to do extra math because of this guy is really a pain in the ass when you're already stretched to your mana, you know what I mean? So
they'll just pay the one in the red to bolt it.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, yeah, he'll just get incinerated on a lightning bolt. That sucks. Hesperia, I would just, like you said, I would just put it in a Grand Arbiter deck or like a Hanna deck or whatever. I probably wouldn't build around her just because I don't really think she does that much that I'd be wanting to make sure that I always had the ability. And then once you're paying 8 for it or 10, you're just kind of like, you know what I mean? Like, and like you mentioned, I die mostly to combos and spells lately anyways. I don't get attacked that often. So in some games, even against like 5 different players, I might only draw a few cards off of it. It's too bad that we can't talk about the old Hesperia, though, because that's actually my favorite of all. But, you know, either way, it's a tough call, but I think Grand Arbiter is probably my favorite just in general, I guess.
Yeah, no champions here. They're bums. Calvin, what do you got?
Well, I actually have an Hesperia Supreme Judge deck that I have actually built, mainly because of the fact that, you know, blue-white has never really been my quote-unquote flavor for color combinations. It's too controlling and too well-timed and blah, 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 blah. And I get that a lot of people play that, but just not really my style. But I actually have the Hesperia deck because it, like, I've dabbled with it a little here and there. And you know what? I actually kind of like the ability she has where if the creatures attack you or if something you have, you get to draw a card because it kind of does the whole prevent people from wanting to attack you.
Got a little blue-white curious, did you?
Yeah. With the Grand Arbiter, granted, like, yeah, you have, like, all the stuff that adds taxes onto people's things and stuff, but you could put those into an Hesperia deck, and you could easily make it, like, you know, so that people don't want to attack you, because if they attack you, you're going to have to pay two mana for a ghost count, for, Ghostly Prison, and you're going to have to draw a card. So it's like, do I really want to have to pay 2 mana and let him draw a card for each creature I attack him with? No, I'm good. You can keep that. Whereas with Grand Arbiter, it really only affects them casting their cards by one. So, like, once their cards are down, it doesn't affect, like, activated abilities or actually attacking. So if they want to, they just basically just pay one more. And the only way he would ever actually get to the point where he could actually be considered, like, the douchier card is if you chose to put in, like, the extra stuff that did the whole taxation stuff. I mean, he lends himself very easily to that particular method of play. But you don't really have to do that. You could really just use him as, like, the white spells you control and blue spells you control cost one less. And he would allow you to get Hesperia Supreme Judge down 2 turns earlier. Then, you know, then you'd have a reason not to attack your opponent.
Yeah, it is really too bad that, I mean, I understand because he is the Supreme Judge why he would make spells your opponents cast to cost one more. But, you know, it does really keep what could be a nifty general from just being a complete flaming douchehole.
Yeah, and people do. Like, every time I play against Grand Arbiter, they always do make really douchey decks and, like... I mean, it's probably just because they see him and, like, that's the way they want to do it. Like, oh, that'll be fun. It's the best thing to do with him. But no, it's really not. It's really, really fun to cast blue-white, huge blue-white beaters for 2 less. You know what I mean? Like, that's really fun. Sovereigns of Laura on the turn 5 after you play Grand Arbiter is really sweet. You know what I mean? Like, there's a lot of really fun things you could do with Augustine that
he
gets a bad... Yeah. Smokestack,
Tangwire.
Also, with Augustine, the original Hesperia would cost 2 less, and that would be a 3/6 flying sphinx for 3 mana?
Well, no, because she's blue, white, one colorless, so she's only going to be the same price.
It's only colorless. One colorless. My bad. Yeah, but still, you know, like, she would still come down. Yeah, she'd come down the same turn that her new version would, too, anyway. So you could play one on turn 4 and then the other one on turn 5.
All right, let's put her to a vote. I guess I brought this one up. I would rather build around Hesperia. I just can't. I can't do it. I've looked at Grand Arbiter before. I'm like, I'm gonna make a sweet Grand Arbiter deck, and I'm just like, nah. Guy's just gonna die and die and die.
Yeah, I would rather build around Grand Arbiter Augustine IV. I have built around him before, and I put Hesperia in the deck, and that worked just fine. And that's pretty much what I would keep doing. I would definitely make sure people knew that it wasn't a prison deck, though, because you could probably be dead pretty early with Grand Arbiter at the table.
If I was going to build around one of these two, it would be Grand Arbiter mainly because I like the idea of having like a blue-white early beatdown deck. I mean, Asperia does kind of play well into that as well, because, you know, she can stop people from attacking you, but she doesn't play the aggressive part of it. And as much as I try to play around with her, like, all it ever really turns into is just like a sit behind this wall of creatures and effects and abilities and then just kind of control the game.
Cassidy, I think you're next.
Okay, let's take the other interesting one before we have to discuss whether Chorus of the Conclave is better than any card in existence.
Something tells me I think we're gonna... I think Selesnya might be last.
Well, no, because Golgari is easiest to... Because Sisters of Stone Death might be the one card worse.
Nah, Sisters of Stone Death is the champion.
Oh, really?
I think Sabra's the general.
Oh, well, actually, Golgari might be fun to talk
about. This is funny, because this exact same thing was talked about on the Mana Pool, where they thought Sisters of Stone Death was the guild leader.
Oh, really? Okay. all right, well, I'll take some time to think about that, because I haven't been thinking about that.
I was wrong.
What?
Okay, so Sisters of the Stone Death got killed, and then Sabra was the leader. But Sabra was also the champion.
Oh.
Let's pick Sabra, since... Since in the storyline they were both guild leaders at one point, we're going to pick Sabra because Sabra's way better.
Okay.
Well, how's about this? In the storyline, since they were both guild leaders at one point, don't we just draw three of them into a three-way tie?
Okay, but we're going to say Sisters of Stone Death is dog butt. And then
it's on to the other one. It's ass. to quote Angry.
Could you imagine if you could mix all three of those things into one thing? Well, lucky for you, our boy Gudongs went ahead and created the 2112 theme deck over at Commander Cast. In fact, I bet you haven't even read it yet. So why not go on down to commandercast.com/JTN07. Again, that is commandercast.com/JulietTangoNovember07.
But I'll put that to the side because I would rather talk about Simic actually at this point. So the two Simic generals, the first one is Momir Vig, right? I mean, Kraj is not the leader of everyone, so we'll go with that. Momir Vig, Simic Visionary, is three colorless blue green, legendary creature Elf Wizard, which is always an awesome creature type, and he's 2/2. So whenever you cast a green creature spell, you may search your library for a creature card and reveal it. If you do, shuffle your library and put that card on top of it. So your Worldly Tutors, if you cast a green creature spell, which, oh god, it's so hard to find green creature spells. Now, whenever you cast a blue creature spell, reveal the top card of your library, and if it's a creature, you put that card in your hand. And then the new Simic creature is Prime Speaker Zagana, which is two colorless, green-green, blue-blue, so it's six to cast. It's a legendary creature, Merfolk Wizard, which I hadn't even noticed that it was a Merfolk. That's interesting. And Zagana starts off as at 1/1. Now, she enters the battlefield. I think it's he, whatever. That thing enters the battlefield with +X/+1/+1 counters on it, where X is the greatest power amongst creatures you control. And then when she enters the battlefield, draw a card equals to its power. To its power. Yeah, there you go.
All right. Quick correction. It's amongst other creatures you control. So if she happens to be the only creature you play, she's a 1/1.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
So just making sure we, like, you know, just letting you know that.
Okay. I didn't read it right, but yeah, I knew that. All right, so let's get down to the skinny here. Now, Momir Vig is kind of like regarded as like one of the douchiest generals, like up there with Grand Arbiter, certainly, and mostly because this ability is just like, it's just so overpowered. Like, why does he get this awesome ability and none of the other guild leaders do anything nearly that close? Like,
oh, look, I cast a Mystic Snake. Why don't I tutor for whatever I need in my hand?
Yeah. Exactly, yeah. Especially when you're casting blue-green creatures, which used to be not as easy, but in this new set, there are a lot of really cool blue-green creatures to cast. So Momir Vig actually got really strong with Gatecrash. Yeah, I mean, even if you don't cast a blue-green creature, Worldly Tutor is an awesome card, and doing it over and over and over again is really sweet. And, you know, even if you just cast a blue creature, if you have enough creatures in your deck, you might end up just drawing a card, basically, for casting a blue creature, which is really ridiculous. And keep in mind that whenever they're cast, too, so it can't be countered. You know what I mean? If someone counters your Mystic Snake, you're still going to go tutor for a card and put it in your hand, probably. That's the thing about him. It's really powerful, but it's kind of boring already, right? I've just been talking about it for less than, 2 minutes, and I'm already, falling asleep.
So you already want to shoot yourself.
Yeah, fuck this guy. And now, before I move on, that there's just the use of space in that art is just terrible. He's so far away behind this, worthless pile of goo, and you're just like, what is that guy? I can't even see him.
I don't know, are those his arms that are so freaking long?
Yeah. It's just the dude standing far away, waving, there's no zoom on the camera, sorry. Now, Prime Speaker Zagana is it's very different from Mulmervig, and I would say that it's pretty different from most of the Simic generals when they put it all together. So I think that's a pretty cool thing anyways. It reminds me kind of the Mimeoplasm, where a big part of the strategy is having big-ass creatures in your deck. And blue-green doesn't have, there's not a lot of reason to play with big-ass creatures in other blue-green decks, so I really think that's cool. And then having a Terastodon in play and then playing Prime Speaker, draw 10 cards, that's pretty awesome. I can't lie that drawing more than a hand size off of your general is pretty sweet. So I'm a pretty big fan of Prime Speaker Zagana. I'm building around her now. I'm building around it now. I'm putting it in the Mimeoplasm as well, because I think it's an awesome card to put in the Mimeoplasm, seriously awesome. I've talked enough about these guys. What do you guys think here?
It'd be a sweet card in your brother's Maelstrom Wanderer deck.
Yeah, that too.
Especially if he has Rico out and you just copy it just to draw 14 cards.
Yeah.
I like Prime Speaker because it entices you to want to build a blue-green beatdown deck. And then, you just cast Prime Speaker to refill because, you get a Beastmaster's Ascension out there and just go to town beating ass. Mulmervig is all about, Seedborn Muse, Primeval Titan. Well, I guess not Primeval Titan anymore. Avenger of Zendikar. Every creature that in blue green that's too good for EDH, essentially, or, is a staple, is going to be in a Mulmervig deck.
Exactly.
Mulmervig is it's like a good stuff deck with synergy. Because they all synergize with the freaking general.
Yeah.
Prime Speaker
is basically
like,
what it is.
My blue and white bro, my blue and green bros, we gonna go kick some ass. Or, have a Terastodon out there and then cast Prime Speaker.
Well, I mean, Terastodon might not be the best example because that card itself is kind of douchey, but, I mean, any giant green creature that's doing nothing on the field, it might even have pacifism or something. No, I'm still drawing a big ass bunch of cards with Prime Speaker, so sweet.
But between the two, personally, is I can kind of see where you guys are going with the new Prime Speaker, because she has that option of kind of do the green blue beatdown deck, and she can actually be something to kind of refill the hand and. Yeah, but the thing for me is really refill the hand with this particular card. Once you're at six mana in green and blue, you shouldn't really need to refill the hand. You should be winning.
Sean, anytime. What are you doing over there?
Do you just call him Keyshawn?
Because just regular Sean. Sean name. Patchen. Oh. He's left this interview.
Hear that?
We hear you now. I think we lost you again.
No, he's making noise.
Is there an earthquake?
I don't know what's happening. I think he's flicking something.
That's my mouse.
Didn't they
print it something that's the Sylvan Primordial is the douchier Terastodon.
Oh, well, no, that's it's a douchier Primeval Titan, so ban that, motherfuckers. Yeah.
Well, it's like if you took Terastodon and Primeval Titan and put them together.
Yeah, basically. Still, I think that card's hilarious. Like, they banned Primeval Titan, and then Wizards is like, oh, by the way, you're going to have to ban this, too.
Nah, because it's just a forest.
That's just fine. A forest? I mean, like, that could be dual land, like a three-color deck.
Yeah, but it's not like Maze of Ith and...
yeah, fair enough.
And, like...
What happened?
Urborg. We were talking about the Primordial, the green one that's, like, Terastodon and Primetime put together.
Mm-hmm. Sylvan Primordial? Have you seen it yet?
No.
Oh, it's green. It's 7 to cast. It's retarded, basically. It's like when they were printing the Primordials, I'm like, I bet green will get something like an acidic slime, but I was wrong because no, it's much better.
You get the best acidic slime.
Yeah.
But yeah, like for some reason, some website decided to pop up and start advertising to me about like something involving goldfish or whatever.
Right, because you're on a porno site.
Probably because I'm on a porno site.
Yeah.
Hmm. All right, you were about to stand for Mimir Vig here.
Well, yeah, at that particular mana card, you should be winning. Not to be pulling like the pageant, because Rashawn is like, you know, you should be winning by turn one anyway. But at least here is like in EDH. Once you hit, like, that 6 mana cost, like, the last thing I want is another big dude. And granted, like, yeah, drawing the extra cards is good, but, like, if I'm playing blue, I should be drawing all the cards anyway. If I'm playing green, I should be ramping anyway. There should be more things for me to do than just to draw more cards at 6.
Yeah, but with this guy in here, you don't need to play the ramp or the card draw. You just play dudes.
Yeah, but also, I mean... You know, the normal Simic deck I play against anymore is Edric, and Edric takes forever to win, so, I mean, you'll have way more than 6 mana when Edric is finally killing you. Just saying.
Right. But the thing here is like, as I'm looking, I was like, but still, like, 6 mana, and all I'm getting is, like, potentially a massive creature. And that's, and like I said earlier, that's if I have another creature out. Like, don't let someone wrap the board, and this ends up being, like, the only card you get down. Because now it's like, oh, she's just a 1/1 creature for 6, and you didn't draw anything anyway. But
I don't know where this tryhard Calvin came from, but...
But what I'm thinking is, like, at least with Vig, it's like, okay, if I'm going to play a creature with Vig, Vig's going to draw me a card. If I play a blue-green creature, he's going to draw me a card. It's going to be the creature I want, and I'm going to get it into my hand. Whereas with the new one, it's like I'm kind of maybe getting it. I have to, like, make sure I got a big creature that's massive enough to get to it. And that's if it's in the, like, even if she gets, like, 6+1/+1 counters, it's got to be within 6 cards that I get it. And if I don't get it there, you know what? I'm screwed. I got to bounce her or find some other way to play her again. But with Big, all I got to do is just play a green creature and I can find what I want as opposed to have to dig through the deck.
I think that the digging through the deck thing is the big, I guess for me, because I played against Mimir Vig before and he's annoying as hell to me. So I think that's a big part of it, kind of like how Grand Arbiter, like we were factoring in the douche factor, and like you could make a Mimir Vig deck that's cool, but I only ever see him where it's like they're making sure that you're not. I mean, it's basically a blue control deck with green creatures or with green stuff in it to make sure that you can play through the deck and play Mimir Vig and search for creatures and stuff, but I mean it's never something fun. But I do see what you're saying where Prime Speaker can be terrible. And it might be one of those decks kinda like Rakdos where some people build it, make a blue green stompy deck, play it a few times, like, oh, that was fun, and then be done with it, you know what I mean? So I do see what you're saying, Calvin. I just think that Mimir Vig, he's so good that it's annoying, more so than he's so good that it makes him useful, you know what I mean?
Well, I fully understand him being, like, so good and being annoying and everything on that line. But between the two, it's like, if I were going to do one or the other, it wouldn't be the get big guy for 6 mana. Because, like, you know how many different generals you have at 6 mana that you can actually be doing something more interesting than just getting, like, something real big to draw cards and potentially be tapped out? I'd rather have something that had haste and did some type of, like, extra battle step where... I'd rather have something where if I use it, I can gain the abilities of all the creatures that's on the field. I'd rather have something that's, like, decent. Right? But, like, wow, I'm going to draw more cards. whoop-de-fucking-do. I've already got the...
Are we really only halfway done?
Yeah.
Jesus.
Oh, shit. We're only halfway... All right, well, you know what's great? Let's skip past this and get to the whole...
No, how about we cut it in half? That way we don't have to think of ideas for next episode either.
Okay.
But let's vote on this one.
Okay. Did we do 4 already? That's what I was going to ask real quick.
We're at 5, actually. Simic is the 5th one.
Okay. Alright, I brought it up. So, when I build a deck around one of these cards, it'll probably... it's definitely going to be Prime Speakers again. I've done the Momir Big thing. I'm not really entertained by that. And I really want to see if she can be the one general that lets you run some really terrible creatures. Some really, really bad, really bad blue-green creatures that never see light of day in any of the other decks. I want to see those creatures come out with Prime Speakers Zagana.
I would rather build a deck with Prime Speakers Zagana. Calvin, hater of fun and dreams, which one would you rather use?
If I was going to build a deck with one of these, it would have to be Momir Big. Now you can keep your big, stompy, green fish woman.
I can't believe you don't want a deck with dudes in it.
No, I want a deck that has dudes in it. Big has a thing where if you cast a green spell, you get green creatures. It has dudes in it. But what I'm saying is, like, I wouldn't prefer to have a deck where I can find the dudes I want as opposed to, like, having to draw into them.
Man.
If I wanted to draw into my cards, I'd be playing something with red and not blue. I'd stay away from blue and green.
I think you're just racist against blue. You think blue can only do one thing. So we're going to cut this in half, kids, because we realized how awfully long this was taking, and this way we don't have to come up with ideas for next episode. Hang on for the next 5 guilds, but let's say goodnight now. I'm Chris. Easiest way to hit me up is offcolorcast@gmail.com. I make Calvin read those to me, or hit me up on Twitter @ChristianRenault. Cassidy, say goodbye to the good kids.
Goodbye, good kids. Thanks for listening. This is probably one of our shortest episodes, which is kind of nice. Anyways, check out my articles on... at www.tcgplayer.com in the Magic section. I'm @RyderWrong on Twitter. I actually have a new Gmail account, but now that my phone doesn't really do anything at all, I'm not even going to bother with it because I'm not going to check it. So, yeah. Thanks for listening.
All right, Calvin, why don't you say goodbye to the bad kids?
Okay, bad kids of the world. This is Calvin, also known as Captain Redzone Radio Net. And if you're looking for me, you can always find me on Twitter @CaptainRedzone, or you can go to Gmail, CaptainRedzone@gmail.com. Don't forget, Off Color Cast also has a Facebook page and a Facebook group. So if you go over there, you can check out when the show gets posted up and, you know, maybe something random. I'm not sure what we're actually going to be doing there. I'm actually trying to think of a few extra things to kind of toss onto the site just to have stuff up there of interest. Like maybe start like a card of the week or something like that again. I kind of miss doing that. Let's see. If you want to check out the show, there's offcolorcast.com. There's always, you can also find us on mtgcast.com until, you know, we get banned for whatever random reason. Let's see. Yeah, also, if you want to try to contact us from Purgatory, you can always go to Google Plus. Let's see. And while you're there, you can always, like, you know, hit up all the other, like, ancient old Roman people who were sent there for one random reason, according to Dante's Inferno, because those are the only people that are on Google Plus. Let's see, anything else?
They're in the outer rings of hell.
I think you got it all.
And don't forget Death Beats. No, not Death Beats. Beardy Plays. There we go.
This isn't doing anything.
No, I'm sorry. The name popped up on my screen. It just said he showed up.
Like an hour ago.
Yeah, like, look, I told you my computer moves kind of slow. Like, you saw how long it took for the damn photo to pop up. God damn it. So don't forget to check out Alex Beardy Plays on the